in the scriptures, and yet it's probably one of the most neglected doctrines of the Bible. It is one thing to believe that God can, it is quite another to believe that God will. This principle is the true test of spiritual faith. Yes, we say we believe God can because, after all, God is God, and He can do anything that He wants to do. However, to believe that God will, that's faith in practice. All of this, of course, is centered upon His perfect will. But when we pray in faith according to His will, then we have to believe that God will do it. Doubt is of the mind, unbelief is of the will, but faith is of the heart. Someone has said, if your faith fizzles out before the finish, in all probability, it had a flaw from the first. Dr. Porter Barrington says, faith does not make anything easy, but it does make all things possible. And so tonight, just a couple of things about the wealth of faith. First of all, it involves the principle of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 simply starts out, now faith. Of course, this chapter is known as the great chapter on faith. You just feel when you read through chapter 11 of Hebrews that you are walking on holy ground. As we are surrounded by these men and women who lived lives of faith. And they are there for our learning, and they are there for examples for us. We have a description of faith there. Dr. A.B. Simpson says, the 11th chapter of Hebrews is a star cluster in the firmament of inspired biography. It is a whole Milky Way crowded with constellations of light and glory. And so I would challenge you for spiritual growth and for spiritual profit that you would come to Hebrews chapter 11 often and linger in that chapter. Spend some time in that chapter meditating upon God and about the men of God and the women of God that are there for us to read about. Now, the first verse is generally regarded as a classic definition of faith. I'm not so sure it's as much a definition of faith as it is a description of its effects. For faith accepts what God declares and puts it to the proof. A description of faith can be illustrated by the story that is told of an old-time preacher who was invited to one of his parishioners' house for Sunday dinner. He was unavoidably detained after the service, and so because he was late at arriving to his hostess' house. In the meantime, the children became hungry, and they were fed first. The mother allowed them to go ahead and eat. The chicken and the dumplings soon disappeared. The children did a good job. Later, when the preacher got there and he began to eat, he found just a few bones floating around in a bowl of gravy. That's all that was left. He exclaimed, well, it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What is the cry of the Reformation? The just shall live by faith. Martin Luther, that was the verse, the principle, the truth that gripped his heart, led to his conversion. The statement of the believer's principle of life is the just shall live by faith is found not just once, not twice, not even three times, but four times in the Bible. Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. Luther got it from Paul. Paul got it from Habakkuk. We might say that of the Reformation, Luther was the father of the Reformation, Paul was the grandfather, and Habakkuk the great-grandfather. So this is not just a Reformation idea. This was not just even a New Testament idea. The just shall live by faith takes us all the way back to the time of the prophets in the Old Testament. If God puts something in His Word four times, we must begin to realize that it must be extremely important. Now, faith is the substance. The word substance really means title deed. As a title deed is evidence of real estate ownership, faith is our title deed to everlasting life. and the evidence of our eternal state in heaven. And Paul says, for the things that which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Faith is more than a principle of life or a philosophy of life. It is the principle of life itself. And then the discernment of faith. The Christian is to live his entire life by faith. Sometimes we just narrowly focus on saving faith, but faith just begins there at salvation. God gives that measure of faith so that anybody can reach it and be saved, but then our faith is to grow. We are not just saved by faith. It is not faith and works, but faith that works. And this working is to be demonstrated throughout our Christian life. Begins with faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But we also find that faith will be put to the test many times and in many ways. And you could probably all testify tonight, if we took the time, how different ways your faith was tested and how your faith was stretched and how God used trying times to increase your faith. Peter talked about that the trial of your faith be tried with fire. And he said, don't think it's any strange thing that this would happen to you. It is not strange that a believer's faith be tried. You know, it can't grow until it's stretched. It won't grow. And so God takes us through fiery furnaces, or he brings us to Red Sea experiences so that our faith can be stretched, so that it can be exercised, and so that it can grow. And so tonight, if you are you find yourself in a trial and you find your faith growing and stretching, don't think it's a strange thing. God has intended it to be that way. Faith knows how to wait on God. It always comes out in victory. Faith is more than equal to any and all occasions. It will always be vindicated. All things work together for good to them that love God. All things, not just some things, but all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Faith does not limit the power of God. It believes beyond the reasonable and never allows facts to stand in its way. For faith is simply taking God at his word. No doubt. The principle of faith leads us to consider, number two, the power of faith. Verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 11 says that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. The power of faith is not so much a question of do we believe, but whom do we believe? See, Jesus has to be the object or the source of our faith. It's not a case of sincerity of belief, but the truth in what is believed. Faith, the scriptures tell us, moves mountains. Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, he shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, Matthew 17:20. It doesn't take a huge amount of faith to see God's power demonstrated. Just a mustard seed size of faith will remove a mountain of unbelief. And so I want to challenge you as I'm challenging myself tonight. Let's let our faith grow. Let's trust God for mountain-moving faith. Let's trust God that we will believe him even though when the circumstances or the facts even might be contradictory. Let's believe God even if there's a mountain of doubt that stands in the way. Because Scripture says that if we have faith, just a little bit of faith, we can move those mountains of unbelief. The power of saving faith has three sides. The salvation experience always involves the intellect, the will, and the emotions. The intellect says that Jesus Christ is God. I accept Christ. Faith is not simply a blind leap in the dark. Faith involves our mind, our intellect. By faith, we understand that the worlds were made by God, were created by his word. The will makes a surrender to him as master and Lord. I will follow Christ. The emotions are the outward expression of the heart's inward response to God's love. And so the heart responds to the love of God. The will submits to the demands of God. The life obeys in the service of God. All three are involved. So together we witness the power of saving faith. The principle of faith, the power of faith, and then number three, the practice of faith. If you learn the principle of faith and see its power, then you will want to practice it. You see faith, you understand the principle, you understand how faith works. And you begin to exercise faith and you see the power of God that comes because of faith, it's going to be something that you want to demonstrate over and over and over again. Things which are seen were not made of things which do appear, according to Hebrews 11:3. You know, the Bible is full of paradoxes. Faith is a paradox itself because faith believes beyond reason. Faith believes without understanding why it believes. Faith says in practice, the way to find life is to lose it. The way to live is to die. The way to gain is to lose. The way to be first is to be last. The way to win is to lose. The way to become rich is to become poor. The way to become strong is to become weak. The way to become wise is to become a fool. Doesn't make sense to the logical mind, to the logical person. Once you're a Christian for a while, you begin to understand, though you might not be able to explain the paradoxes, but you know that they're true. You know they're real. Faith says in practice. Faith sings in prison. Probably cannot think of the story of Paul and Silas without thinking of the time that they were in that Philippian jail. And at midnight, they began to sing and to praise God. You know, when they went to a city, I don't think they checked out the nicest motels. I think they checked out the jails, the jail situation, because sooner or later, they were probably going to wind up in one. But they had faith and they had power with God. And they would leave with a convert under one arm and a jail door under the on the other. And that was their experience that time when they came to Philippi. Beaten within an inch of their lives. There they are at midnight in a deep, dark, damp, dreary, dingy, dirty dungeon. Can you imagine the conversation that took place? One of them probably said to the other one, "Have you prayed yet?" The other one said, "Yeah, I've been praying ever since we got into this place. I've been praying ever since we got into town." And then Paul turns to Silas and says, "Well, have you praised God yet? Maybe we should just lift our voices and praise." And so that's what they did. They just began to praise God. And what did God do? Tell me, what did God do when they began to praise him? Marion?
He sprang
the door. He what?
He opened the door.
He opened the door, right? And what else happened? There was a great earthquake. Our praise moves heaven on our behalf. And there was this great earthquake. It's a strange earthquake that remembers to unlock shackles. Here they are free. They could walk out if they wanted to, but they didn't want to. There were people there that needed to hear the gospel. The jailer for one. And just as the jailer is about ready to take his life, because he knows that all the prisoners have escaped. I mean, what prisoner would not have escaped? Prisoners only have one thought in their mind. How do I get out of here? But when Paul says, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here," the jailer is brought under tremendous conviction. Every single one of the prisoners were there. "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." But it all started with Paul and Silas giving glory and praise to the Lord for being counted worthy to suffer for Christ in the gospel. And because of that, they started singing. faith sings in prison. One son said of his mother, caught in the prison house of dire need during the Great Depression of the 30s, she never lost faith in God. It grieved her that she could not give her boy material advantages. As she prepared supper in the little side room kitchen over the old wood-burning cook stove, and as a little boy, I heard her at times weeping. Yet at the same time, she sang through her tears. Some of the old songs were her favorites, such as, and some of these I don't know, Footsteps of Jesus, Oh, They Tell Me of an Uncloudy Day, All the Way My Savior Leads Me, and Beautiful Lights Along the Shore. That is a tremendous example of practicing faith. Living above circumstances, singing through adversities. How many times have you had a need and yet you sang through the tears? There's just something so comforting about being able to do both of those things at the same time. Weeping may endure for a night, joy comes in the morning, but it's that praise that gets the heart pumping, gets the joy flowing. Faith sings in prison, and then faith shines in problems. Have you ever prayed for patience? Have you ever prayed for patience and got tribulation instead? Perhaps that's biblical, because Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 says that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So there's this cycle, we pray for patience, but God says, if you want patience, then I have to give you tribulation. And that tribulation that I give you will work patience in your life. But that's great, because patience will help you gain experience, and experience will help you gain hope. Augustine said, faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward is to see what we believe. Charles Kingsley said, I do not want merely to possess a faith. I want a faith that possesses me. William Newton Clark said, faith is the daring of the heart to go farther than it can see. Faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. It takes faith to live and faith to die. Faith that asks not why. Faith to learn and faith to teach. Faith to practice what we preach. Faith to work and faith to pray, faith to trust and obey. Luther adds comments on the interior character of faith. Faith is a living, well-founded confidence in the grace of God, so perfectly certain that it would die 1,000 times rather than surrender its conviction. Such confidence and personal knowledge of divine grace makes its possessor joyful, bold, and full of warm affection toward God and all created things, all of which the Holy Spirit works in faith. Hence, such a man becomes without constraint, willing and eager to do good to everyone, to serve everyone, to suffer all manner of ills, in order to please and glorify God, who has shown toward him such grace. If we want to go into the treasure house of a noble person, such as a prince or a king, if we want to go there to enrich ourselves, we must first seek the keys wherewith we are going to open the doors. If we want to find and be enriched with God's grace, we must first labor to have faith, because faith is the key. It is the only key that unlocks the treasure house of God's blessings. And it secures all graces needful, both for body and soul. And so the question is tonight, do you have the key of faith that you might be able to unlock the riches that we find in God's storehouse, the riches of God's blessings? Faith is a very wealthy thing indeed. It is probably our greatest asset. Faith in God, our greatest asset, the wealth of faith. Could I have your heads bowed, your eyes closed this evening? Much is said about faith. Much more could be said than what I've said over these last 7 weeks. But I want to challenge you on just one particular point of the message tonight. that you will always, that you will try to always say the right thing. Faith says in practice, it might be opposite of what the world is trying to tell you. The world might be telling you if you want to find your life, you have to put yourself first. Jesus said the way to find your life is to lose it for his sake. So if you would just make that decision in your mind that you are always going to try to think the right thought, say the right thing, because faith says in practice. And that number two in this is not easy. I'm not saying it is by any means. But that when you find yourself in a prison situation, you will force your will to sing, force your emotions to sing, so that your faith would shine and be a light to others despite your problems or because of your problems. That you will realize that when you pray for faith, you pray for patience, God will take you through the cycle of tribulation, patience, experience, and hope. So how many of you, by a raised hand tonight, would be saying, "Would you, Lord, would you help me that my faith would say the right thing in practice and that my faith would sing when I'm in prison?" Can I just see your hands? Can you raise them to the Lord? Amen. Amen. Lord, we do need your grace tonight because this is not easy to do. Our faith sometimes is going across the grain to say in practice what we believe to be true when the world and others say otherwise is not always easy. And it's certainly not easy to sing in prison. And so, Lord, we do ask tonight for your grace to be able to do these things. We ask, Lord, that you would help us through the tribulations of life so that when we are tried, we will come forth as gold. Lord, that others might see you in our lives and might see the wealth of faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there I'm you got a mountain in your way, pray with you, the Lord removes it for you this week.